Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
What's up, my brother, and welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 23, and I want to thank you so much for spending your time with me. I truly, truly appreciate it. I'm your host, Funk Roberts. I'm a former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and, of course, online transformation specialist for men over 40, and I'm here to help men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond get in the best shape of their lives through mindset, recovery strategies, nutrition tips, workouts, and focusing on naturally boosting our number one testosterone. And on today's podcast, we are going to talk about kettlebell training for men over 40. And I truly love kettlebells. You know, for me, kettlebells have been instrumental in my transformation. You know, like when I was 39, 40 years old and I was 40 pounds overweight and I had tons of belly fat and I was still doing old school traditional workouts like buys and tries, back and shoulders and long cardio, that's all I knew. And it wasn't until I had the wake up call to see what was going on with my body, why I was, you know, not getting any results, why I was feeling the way I was feeling, why my testosterone levels were low. And one of the aspects, I mean, there was nutrition and recovery and all the other stuff, but one of the major aspects was my workouts were totally wrong. Workouts that I was doing were not conducive to someone in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or for me, and more for the younger cats who can recover, who can have all handle all of the volume that we put in our body in those type of workouts. So in my, research and trying to figure out what workouts work back then, this is 2010, I stumbled upon kettlebells. Kettlebells started to become quite popular or slowly started to become popular. I would say that they weren't popular yet. They were just slowly starting to become popular. I was reading a lot of Pavel's stuff and a friend of mine who was at that time a kettlebell specialist introduced me to kettlebells, and I became a kettlebell specialist. I got my certification in kettlebell training, and I started to use kettlebells as a way to help me lose that weight, you know, help me get shredded. And literally, aside from body weight training and dumbbells, using metabolic kettlebell workouts, high intensity kettlebell workouts, there's a video posted. I've posted it since. But there's a video that I started to use called Kettlebell 300. That was a workout. And I used that workout once a week, every week for 6 months. That was part of my training regimen, was Kettlebell 300. And so, I've reposted. If you go online and go Funk Roberts Kettlebell 300, you'll see it. It's amazing. But this was a workout that I did. And it was a combination of body weight and kettlebells. But man, it was so instrumental in shredding my body. Kettlebells are so amazing, specifically for us guys in our 40s, 50s, 60s who, you know, need, who can still use, you know, you can still use resistance training, but it's dynamic. It's explosive. It's easier on the joints. Full body. You can get strong. You can lose fat. You can burn fat. You can be athletic. You can do core work. You can do recovery work. Like, there's so many amazing attributes to learning and then using kettlebells. So kettlebells are key for even today. I mean, I've got one of my favorite kettlebell programs. It's a 28-day kettlebell shred program, and that's one of the sponsors here. Guys, listen, if you have kettlebells, use kettlebells, then you definitely want to download my kettlebell shred program. It's a 28-day program, follow along kettlebell workouts with me and my wife. All you need is one kettlebell. So I really like using single kettlebell training because it, especially if I'm going to be you know, presenting it to you guys, because I don't want to put any more barriers in front of you. I don't want you to have two kettlebells. Double kettlebell training is amazing too, but this workout, this program is just specifically for using one kettlebell. If you only have one kettlebell or have two different kettlebells with different weights, this is perfect, man. So if you go to over40alpha.com/kettlebell shred, grab that program. It's 28-day follow-along workouts. I take you through each workout. They're awesome. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. You get ebook, you get everything you need. And plus, I throw some ab workouts in there too. So go get it right now, over40alpha.com/kettlebell shred. Excuse me, download that right now. And also, what you want to do before you workouts, because for me, you know, I use fasting, but there's also a lot of times where I'm really, really busy and I want to get a workout in and I'm a little fatigued or I don't have the energy, or it's like the third day of the week and, you know, the week, it's near the end of the week and I'm pretty tired and I need a little kickstart for my workout. And one of the things that I created, one of the supplements that I created was a pre-workout supplement. Now, let's set the record straight. I usually was not a pre-workout person, but I decided that, you know, first of all, for fasting specifically, because I do long fasts, and sometimes when I break my fast, before I break my fast, I'll do a fasted workout and need energy to get through that workout. So I wanted to make sure that there was no calories and, of course, no sugar or any of that crap that's going to compromise our hormones. So that's why I created Metabolic Blast, which is a pre-energy, pre-workout formula. It's awesome. If you go to over40shred.com/pre-workout, that's over40shred.com/pre-workout, grab that pre-workout today. It's awesome. We ship all over the world. It's perfect for your pre-kettlebell workouts, perfect for your pre-fasted workouts, and perfect just for your free workouts or training. So grab that as well. My voice is dying. Anyways, on today's podcast, we've got Chris Lopez. That's my boy. Chris and I have worked together in the past. We did our Kettlebell for Fighters. Not only did we do Kettlebell for Fighters program, but we also did a seminar too that we shot. And I mean, you know, Chris Lopez is a strong first beast in kettlebell training. He's been, you know, the kettlebellworkouts.com for, you know, over 10 years. He's a fellow Torontonian, but moved to Costa Rica. And yeah, man, it's just connecting back with him to talk about kettlebell training specifically for men in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and the benefits and how it works and how we can use it. You're going to get some good insight. And if you've kind of dabbled with kettlebells, then 100% this is something that you want to 100% listen to. If you've wanted to try kettlebells, something you want to listen to, because then you can grab some kettlebells as well. And if this is, you know, if you're using kettlebells, but you're kind of like, oh, I haven't used them in a while, I'd like to implement them back into my training, then this is definitely something you want to listen to. Anyways, guys, I'm really excited to have Chris Lopez on this podcast in regards to, of course, kettlebell training for men over 40. Guys, enjoy this. Please like this, share this, leave your comments, give this a 5-star, and I'll see you and talk to you on the other side. Get it done. We are live, my people, and welcome to another episode of the Over 40 Shred podcast with your host, the Funkster.
Funk Robin.
Hope you guys are doing well. Yes, yes. And there you have it. And today on this episode, I want to welcome back my boy Chris Lopez. What's up, Chris?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing? You good?
I'm good. I'm good. It's raining in Costa Rica today, the day that we're recording this podcast. So go figure. Yes. I live in a rainforest and it's raining.
Yeah. So how's Costa Rica treating you?
It's treating us well. Simple life.
Yeah.
It's, makes you appreciate all those wonderful things. Does it rain a lot?
Does it rain a lot there?
Yes, it does.
It does?
It rains quite a bit.
When you say it rains quite a bit on an average week, how many days of that week would it rain? And for how long are those rain spouts?
Okay. So during the wet season, which is usually, when is the wet season? It varies so much, but right now they say that the wet season is usually like July, August. So we're coming on the tail end of the wet season. we weren't here. We were in Toronto when this happened, but apparently it rained all day, every day for 14 days straight.
Unbelievable. Well, that's, I mean, it's not unbelievable when, if you live in a rainforest, right? I guess.
No, not at all. But I mean, but if you want to look on average, like a regular beautiful day in Costa Rica will be, well, we're Canadian, so I'll say this in Celsius, but like 32 degrees Celsius, sunny, no clouds. And then around the nighttime, the sun sets at 6 p.m. every day because we're right by the equator. Around nighttime, right. So maybe around 7 or 8 p.m., it'll start to rain and it'll cool everything down and give you perfect sleeping weather. And then when you wake up the next day, there's sunshine.
Okay, so generally speaking, during the days that it, so during the like the non-rainy season, you're gonna get a full day of sunshine, rain at night, and then, you know, again, full day of sunshine, pretty much.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. On average. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like you know, I always equate, you know, you going to Costa Rica with us going to Thailand, because we go to Thailand every year. And same sort of thing where, and the reason why I said it's not surprising that it rained for 24 hours, 14 days is because last year when we went to Thailand, we got there on the tail end of the rainy season, which we got there in like October, but it was a tail end apparently. And literally the first 4 days we were there, it rained 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And like all day long. And it was like torrential rains. Like I was running. There's, you know, videos of me running in the rain. Because need to get a run in. So I would just run in the pouring rain. I didn't care. It didn't matter.
You're going pure Rocky. Even,
like, it didn't fit. Hot as hell. And if you needed to train, everything was underneath a, you know, like you can stay dry when you go train Muay Thai or go to the gym or whatever. So it's no big deal. It's just getting there, which nowhere is really far on the street that we're on in Thailand. So it didn't really make a big difference. Like it really didn't faze you after, you know, the first 8 hours of straight rain. You're just like, okay, well, this is just, let's go. Let's grab our raincoats and ride our scooters to the where we need to go. And that's it.
No, you really just kind of get used to it. I mean, it's funny. My wife woke up this morning and she woke up and she said she loves these days, because these are the days where you can just kind of stay home and you don't feel obligated to do anything. Because sometimes when the sun's out, you feel obligated to go out and get stuff done and take care of this and take care of that. And today is one of the days where you can be a 65-year-old English lady and sit in bed with tea and a book and light a candle, as my daughter would say, and just chill out.
Totally, totally. Yeah. And then, you know, during the non-rainy seasons, obviously it's 9,000 degrees. And you do get bouts of rain during the day, which is great. Like you'll be able to rain for like 30 minutes and then, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. So
that's good because it cools things down just for that, you know, time period. And then, you know, but it's I love it. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world, those times when you go to Thailand. And we're probably going to end up living in Thailand at some point. So.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm coming to visit.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so today's episode, first of all, today's episode is on the day of, we're recording, well, I don't think we're recording. Anyways, today's episode is all about kettlebells, and that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, when I talk about kettlebells for myself, I've said this before to you guys, it's literally if I was stranded on an island and I had to take one piece of equipment, that piece of equipment, you know, fitness equipment, that would be a kettlebell, 100%. And I know that I would be safe and I would be able to stay healthy and fit and ripped and strong and powerful and muscular all my days spent on that island. As long as I had the right food to feed my muscles and my body. But other than that, you know, it's such a versatile piece of equipment. And it's one of those pieces of equipment that it's a minimalist piece of equipment, but you can use it. I mean, for guys over 40, for guys 50, 60, you guys listening to this right now, you men listening to this, this is definitely, you know, that piece of equipment that all of you guys should be handling. And the reason why I have Chris on is because he is a kettlebell. What are you, kettlebell special? What do you call these? Specialist? Obviously, you're certified, but are you kettlebell guru, specialist?
I don't know. I would never label myself guru. Like that's something I think other people will have to label me if that were it. But so I'm never going to call myself a guru. I've been training with kettlebells for like 20 years now. So,
right.
I'm very proficient. I don't know what I would call it. Kettlebell instructor, well, kettlebell enthusiast.
Well, why don't you give us your background on just that, the kettlebell, and how you kind of mesh with the kettlebell. Give us a.
Okay. Well, I met the kettlebell out of necessity. As you know, I have a very big family. My wife and I have 5 kids, and yeah. I was personal training in Toronto, and I found that, especially in a place like Toronto, you have to look the part. Like, nobody's going to want to train with a fat trainer. And so, I mean, that's the nature of society these days. Anyway, I found that I was taking on a lot of clients and I was getting really busy, but at the same time, I didn't have enough time for me to train myself. I had just started an in-home training business. So I was all over the city. I was driving from here and there, and I couldn't find any time to get to the gym. So we had, I think it was 3 kids going on 4 or 2 kids going on 3 or maybe even 1 going on 2. I can't even remember how long ago it was, but I was introduced to the kettlebell through, I picked up a magazine and there was an introduction to this Russian guy named Pavel in the back of a magazine. It was basically like a long form sales letter type of thing. And so I read the letter and then I went ahead and I ordered a book from him. And then I started getting deep into his work and that introduced me to kettlebells. And then finally I decided to buy my own kettlebell and give it a shot. So I bought my own kettlebell and people in the gym saw me using it and they thought it was like one of the fad things, like what, like a Bosu ball or, you know, a balance board or something like that. So they thought it was just like a fad thing. But what I found was that it was really working for what I needed, which was I wanted to be able to maintain athleticism. I wanted to be able to maintain muscle and I wanted something that would help me with my cardio and help me stay lean. All the things that you mentioned before. And so I started training with the kettlebell and basically all I was doing was playing around with swings and presses and started to see pretty impressive results for myself. And so people started to ask me questions about it and how to use it and everything. And they started to get curious with it. And so for a few years, I was teaching people how to use it, although I'd never received any formal instruction. And then in 2010, I attended my very first certification, which was the RKC certification. It was in Orlando, Florida.
What does RKC stand for?
RKC is the Russian Kettlebell Challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was in 2010. I had met Pavel, the guy that I had originally bought the book from way back when I read about him in a magazine, and met him. He became a mentor to me. I met a bunch of master instructors that I still keep in contact with, a bunch of senior instructors there. There was a bunch of guys that were just coming up into the ranks at that same certification that I had met that are now relatively big names in the fitness industry. And so I kept that up the entire time. Throughout that time, I maintained my certification and I started a website called kettlebellworkouts.com. Now I'm a member of the Strong First team. I'm a Strong First certified instructor. I help assist at certifications with them and I teach my own kettlebell workshops everywhere, all over the place, actually. So that's kind of what I do now.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I'm going to back you up because you kind of just flossed over Pavel, but let's dive a little bit deeper into who Pavel is. So, I mean, if for you guys who don't know anything about kettlebell, Pavel, what's his last name?
Tatsulin. Yeah.
Literally the I don't know, what would you say, the grandfather of kettlebell training in regards to?
He's the man.
Let's dig a little bit deeper into that.
So
you just glossed over. Oh yeah, Pavel. No, this is like the guy. Like if you're going to learn kettlebells from anyone in the world ever, this is the person you're going to learn kettlebells from. Pavel, how do you pronounce it again?
Tatsulin.
Pavel, yeah. Tatsulin. Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
So Pavel is he's a Russian master of sports, and he used to train, I guess, first responders and spec ops tactical officers in Russia, and he would do it using kettlebell training because they needed like an efficient, like exactly like what I said. Anyway, Pavel is responsible for the modern day kettlebell movement. He's the guy that brought kettlebells to the forefront to North America back in early 2000. And he's the reason why kettlebells have become so popular. It's not so much the kettlebell itself, but his training methodologies with the kettlebell. Because kettlebells initially they were used as counterweights in Russian shipping yards, right? Because they're measured in poods. So like one pood is, I think it's 16 kilos.
Pood?
Yeah. P-O-O-D.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so 1.5 would be 24 kilos, and then 32 would be 2 pood, so on and so forth. And so they used to use those as counterweights to measure the shipments coming in at the docks in Russian shipping yards. And then later on, it became a sport thing where you have kettlebell sport, where people would lift kettlebells competitively, and it would be more or less an endurance thing. Well, Pavel took his style of training, which is called hard style, and taught people how to get strong with kettlebells. Because prior to that, kettlebells used to just be, not just be, but kettlebell sport is basically strength endurance or endurance. And it's basically lifting a kettlebell as many times as possible within a 10-minute period. And so you have to be able to maintain your endurance and a certain amount of strength in order to do that, in addition to relying on a lot of your body structure. And Pavel took his methodology, which is called hard style, and incorporated a lot of tension to high tension techniques and a lot of things that powerlifters would do to lift very heavy weight. He incorporated into kettlebell training to make people stronger. And so he developed his own system, what he likes to call, and he developed things like the skill of strength. Like, he's a big, very big on saying that strength is very much a skill that can be practiced. So he has a lot of principles, like never training to failure, which is, you never hear that in North American circles, because, you know, you got to push one more rep out. And if it's not hurting, then you're not doing enough work, or it's not going to work, or whatever.
Exactly.
He has a very opposite approach to that. So that's who Pavel is in a nutshell. I probably didn't do that very much justice, but he's a very smart guy.
What year did he, like, do you remember the years that he kind of created his own style of kettlebell training?
I know his first book was published in 1999, I think, but I think he was featured on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it was either 2000 or 2002, I think, when Rolling Stone magazine put him on the cover and said that he was the future of fitness or something like that.
And 100% he was a feature. That's one of the things they got right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it comes to these type of things, I get, you see a ton of. I mean, I get Instagram posts or Instagram messages, DMs weekly. Oh, I got this new thing. You know, do you want to try it? Do you want to whatever? And I used to be the king of, oh yeah, let me, you know, send me them and I'll shoot a video. But now I freaking hate doing that, because they're on you all the time. And it's just like, why am I even doing this? Like, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm never going to use this piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And, for me, I just stick to, the basics and what works and the things that are getting, you know, results and can fit into the training. And kettlebells obviously is one. And I do remember Pavel way back in the day. I mean, I remember him being in the fitness magazines and seeing this guy, you know, pressing the kettlebell up, looking very Russian, looking very old schoolish. But I remember seeing those ads in the Flex magazines and Muscle and Fitness and all those magazines that I used to read, but I never, paid any attention. I just saw it and okay, there it is. I started to use kettlebells, and then, you know, then I downloaded his book, or I think a friend of mine downloaded the book for me and sent it to me. It's like, here, this is, I can't remember what his ebook was or what his book was, but she's downloaded the ebook, and then I read the whole thing, and I was like, okay, this is it, man.
The biggest thing that kind of moved me towards Pavel was that I never was a bodybuilder. Like, I never saw eye to eye or never saw myself as being a bodybuilder. And so there weren't a lot of people at that time who you couldn't read a lot about how to train like an athlete, more or less. It was just like, you know, today we're doing chest and tomorrow we're doing back. And then the day after that, we're doing legs. Like, it was very much about isolation. So when you read back in the day, like in the 90s, when you and I were coming up, it was all bodybuilding magazines, and that's where you got all your knowledge. But it never really resonated with me. And so I picked up a magazine and I saw Pavel, and here's this skinny, wiry athletic looking Russian guy. And I was just like, you know what? That's what I want to look like. Like, that's really what I wanted. I wanted a very unassuming body, but I wanted to be super strong and wiry and athletic. And that's what resonated with me. And that's why I started reading his stuff, because just his body type and the way he trained was very much how I wanted to look and what I wanted to do. And so that was the first thing that popped out for me about Pavel and his style of training, was that he was probably one of the first guys out there that was talking specifically about athletic training.
That's awesome. And the fact that you were able to train with him, like, and be actually taught by him is incredible. I mean, you know, that's what everyone aspires to. Every trainer, every coach, every whatever, is to be, you know, trained or taught or be able to, you know, follow or whatever, you know, under the master, right? The master.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's the pretty master. Amazing. And we have a relationship now. Like, for example, like a couple of years ago, I was in Santa Monica speaking at an event, and I knew that Pavel lived in Santa Monica. So I sent him an email and I said, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And he responded like the day of, and he's like, I love that. Let's meet for coffee at this place. And so I had coffee with a guy. It wasn't even in a training setting. We just sat down and just had coffee, and it was great. And he's always said, you know, Chris, if you ever have any questions, or feel free to just like pop me an email and let me know how you're doing or whatever. And so we've got a really good relationship now, and it's pretty, I'm very blessed to be able to have a guy like that in my corner, somebody that I can just call on every now and then. Like, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. And that, so that's why I wanted, obviously, guys, the reason why I have Chris on here, because, you know, the second best thing to getting Pavel. But let's talk about the difference between those. So let's talk about what a kettlebell looks, because a lot of people who are probably listening to this right now probably have seen them. Obviously, hopefully by now you've actually seen it, but you may not have put the connection that that's called a kettlebell. You may have seen it in a gym, you may have seen it on, but you may not have put the connection. So if you were to describe what a kettlebell is to someone who's never seen a kettlebell before, how would you describe that?
It's a cannonball with a handle on it.
Okay, a cannonball with a handle.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
It looks like it kind of looks like a tea kettle, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a cannonball with a handle on it. And just sitting there, I think it looks very intimidating. Because it's probably the simplest piece of equipment that you'll find. I mean, there's no cables, there's no pulleys. It's not like this big, shiny machine or anything. It's basically a black piece of iron that looks a little beat up if it's been around the block. And it's just sitting there. And so you never really know what to do with it.
It's true. It is. I see it. We have tons of kettlebells at Bloor Street Fitness, tons. And, you know, I see more and more people using them. But they can be very intimidating. You know, there's like 50 kettlebells all in the, you know, right in this corner. And it's just like, wow. You know, they're just looking at you with a rough, mean look on them if you've never seen them before.
It's very Russian.
Yeah. But then you see, you know, a girl or a woman go in and pick it up and start using it. And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, for me, I know, but I can. Goes in and she's a big kettlebell. She loves kettlebells and uses it a lot in her workouts and does a lot of kettlebell workouts. But you know, you see her, you know, pick them up and, you know, doing clean and double clean and squat and press, you know, and you can see the looks on other people's faces, like, oh, you know. But again, it's very intimidating when you have a ton of people in a gym, you've never used it before, and then you're gonna go pick it up and not know how to use it. So I can definitely see it. But what do you think the differences are between, you know, using kettlebells, using a dumbbell or a barbell or what have you? What are those big differences for these guys?
For the most part, you can basically do anything with a kettlebell. I mean, kettlebell training is a skill, and it's a skill because of the way it's shaped. So because of the offset center of gravity of a kettlebell, right? So you've got the weight on one side and the handle's on top of it. Whereas with a dumbbell, the weight is very distributed. It's evenly distributed throughout the entire thing. So that's the primary difference. And the beauty about that is that when you use the kettlebell that way, it actually feels heavier than it is. And you can, and that's both from a static standpoint when you pick it up and from a momentum standpoint when you're doing things like swings or even when you're carrying it overhead. I mean, the weight of the kettlebell sits behind you. If you're, say, for example, you're doing a press and you want to push that kettlebell overhead and lock it out, the kettlebell, because of the way the center of gravity works, it naturally pulls you into alignment. You have to have a straight arm to be able to press that kettlebell up, and it pulls you into really good posture because the weight is sitting behind you. It's not straight up and down. So that's how the mobility aspect comes into play. Because for a lot of people that sit at a desk, or a lot of people today that work in front of a computer, upper back mobility, shoulder mobility is a huge issue. Like, you don't have a lot of that because you spend a lot of time hunched in front of a keyboard. So training with kettlebells gives you the mobility aspect while you're strength training, and it allows you to gain mobility in a proper movement pattern while you're using it. So that's the biggest difference. I mean, there's a bunch of other differences too. I mean, there's little tricks and hacks when you're doing your ballistics. So when I talk about ballistics, that's the explosive movements with a kettlebell, like the swing or the snatch or the clean or even the jerk. Because of the center of gravity, you can actually make the kettlebell feel heavier than it really is. But that's why it's such an effective tool. You can get a lot out of it with just one piece of equipment.
Yeah. If you're going to pick up a 20 pound dumbbell and a 20 pound kettlebell, the 20 pound kettlebell is going to feel much, much heavier than the 20 pound dumbbell. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And again, you know, when you see something like a kettlebell or a TRX or something that's like, you don't know how to use it. One of the big things, like, especially the reason why we're doing this podcast is because, you know, I want all these guys to start using kettlebells. I want you guys to start, you know, training with kettlebells and developing that skill. You know, you don't have to be able to, you know, when you start, you'd start basic, of course, but you're going to find that you're going to feel much better after you use that kettlebell, and you're going to feel that strength much better. Like whenever I go for a kettlebell workout, you know, we do a kettlebell, you know, circuit or what have you. Again, during this, you're not going to get the pump that you do, like when you go in and do isolation exercise and isolation workout, or, you know, a bodybuilding style workout. The whole purpose is not getting that pump. But after I do a kettlebell workout, you know, even after, like, you know, a couple hours after, you can, like, you just feel stronger. Like, my body's and my joints and my muscles feel stronger. The next day, I just feel like, man, this is like it. And again, when you're resting that your muscles repair, they grow. That's the time that you know, that all that happens. So you're not going to get that pump, but the next day you're going to feel much, I don't know, I just always feel stronger, and my core stronger, and my, you know, my joints are stronger and healthy, and my muscles are stronger. I always feel that way after I train with kettlebells.
Yeah, you feel like dense, almost like,
yes,
that.
That's the word.
Like tight, like you're wrapped, yes, in like saran wrap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to like puffy.
Right.
After you're training with like a dumbbell or whatever. And a lot of times that's just, and that puffy feeling is that you're just shuttling blood into the localized area of the muscle. And that's the blood goes away after a while, after you get the pump. But with kettlebell training, for whatever reason, because it's full body, your entire body feels like it's wrapped in saran wrap. Like you've got that like tight, like that spec operator type of, you know what I mean? Like your veins are popping out and everything. Yeah.
You know, kettlebells were one of the main piece of equipment that I used, and kettlebell training was the main protocol and style of training I used to transform my body when I was, you know, 39, 40, and I was 215 pounds puffy. Basically, you know, I had three workouts that I did every week pretty much for 6 months. I mean, you know, there were three main workouts that were in there. I had other things. One of them was a kettlebell 300,
yep,
which was on YouTube at the time, and that was one that I used, and there was another kettlebell workout that I created that I used as well, and literally in 6 months I was 185 ripped, like strong and ripped, and that was from 215 to 185, and I wasn't doing any bodybuilding style workouts. I wasn't doing any of that shit at all. It was a lot of kettlebells in my garage and on my, I mean, you could even look at the videos on YouTube way back in, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago. You'll see, I have videos of myself, you know, training with kettlebells on my driveway, my driveway. And, you know, that's literally what I used, man. Like, that was like it. You know, Ryan Shanahan, he introduced me to kettlebell training, and then I just took it to the next level. You know, I got a training certification through K-Bell training. Jamu, who I talked
Jamu.
To.
Well.
Yeah, Jamu, who's the king of kettlebell juggling, and I think he's a world champion kettlebell juggler, as far as I think. But anyways, yeah, man, kettlebells were instrumental in my transformation. You know what I mean? Huge.
Yeah. No. Huge. Yeah. And for me as well, like I said, I needed something bang for your buck, and I needed something. So back in whenever it was, like, you know, I started to become very obsessed with minimalism and simplicity and living a simple life. And I kind of said to myself, why can't fitness be the same? Like, does it really have to be this complicated? And for guys that are busy and for guys that have lives and responsibilities outside of the gym, I mean, not everybody's a trainer. Not everybody can spend 3 hours a day at the gym working out. Like, we're not 20 anymore. We're, you know, we used to be able to do that. So I became obsessed with that. And the kettlebell was the answer to simplicity and fitness minimalism at its core. I mean, now I only train with kettlebells and body weight, my own body weight. Oh, that's not true. I started deadlifting again maybe a few weeks ago. I haven't picked up a barbell in like 5 years or whatever. But now, I mean, but for the most part, it's only been kettlebells. A lot of time with single. I'm training a lot with doubles now. But yeah, everything that I do is just kettlebells. I mean, even here in Costa Rica, I have a pair of 16-kilo kettlebells. I have a pair of 24-kilo kettlebells. And I have one 32-kilo kettlebell, and then in my house I have the guys build me a chin-up bar from the ceiling, and that's all the equipment that we have at home.
Wow. That's yeah, I mean that's the epitome of minimalist, but that's all you need. Like, you know, again, back then I only had, I think, yeah, same kind of, you know, breakdown, maybe like 12 kilos, 16 kilos, 20, but a lot of times it was only one kettlebell. It wasn't even two. I didn't even have a pair. I only had one. So yeah, to be able to do all of that transformation just using one kettlebell, like one weight, single kettlebell training, single kettlebell exercises, 100%. You don't need two kettlebells. You know, you could literally, you know, get strong and do a lot just with a single kettlebell.
I mean, you know what I mean? If you want to transform your body,
yeah,
do 300 kettlebell swings every day.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I'm telling you, like, that's it. Eat a lot of protein, but just do 300 kettlebell swings every day. Don't do anything else. Don't do anything else in terms of working out. Don't worry about, like, going to the gym or anything like that. And I guarantee you that your posture will get better. Your shoulders will get bigger. Your back will get bigger. You'll start to develop that shelf butt that everybody wants. You know, the Insta butt.
Power, baby, power.
Yeah. And you'll start to lean out around your waist. Yeah. 300 kettlebell swings a day. Trust me on this. But yeah. The properly. Thing, yeah, doing it properly. But the thing is, a lot of people won't do that because it's boring.
Yeah, yeah.
And totally. So then you, now it comes to, you have to kind of ask yourself, like, do I need to be entertained? Do I need that variety? Or do I actually want to get in better shape? And if you really do want to get in shape, like 300 kettlebell swings a day, especially for somebody who's never done swings before on the regular, right, do that every day. And watch your body. Do it every day for 28 days and watch your body transform.
Yeah. And you're going to be, now for me and swings, swings have been another one of those exercises that I've, you know, different swing variations. Like, I mean, there's so many different, like, that's the cool thing about kettlebells too, is because really there's no right or wrong. Like, there's styles, you know, mm-hmm. there's the hard style and sports style, which are totally opposite. But the key is, you can do a lot of, like, you can create your own exercises as long as it makes sense with yep. kettlebells. You don't have to do specific just swings. You could do, you know, sidestep swings. You could do, you know, you can do high swings. You can do, you know, they're just, you know, they're different alternating, you know, single arm swings. There's so many different types of swings you can do that, you know, if you need to be entertained, you can start using different variations of swings, but, you know, sticking with that main technique, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the beauty about swings, is that it all routes from the hip hinge, and the hip hinge works primarily your posterior chain muscles, which are your, like, the big muscles. They're the fast twitch muscles that demand a lot of energy. So regardless if you do, you know, an American style overhead swing, or if you do a one arm swing, or if you do lateral swings, like the sidestepping swings, or you do a triple extension swing, or if you do just a regular kettlebell swing, you're always working the posterior chain, which is what transforms and what transforms your body because of the metabolic demand of the exercise.
Yeah, because the swing is a lower body exercise. A lot of people, you know, because they see other people doing swings, or they never get taught. Like, they watch the swing and then they're not really taught how to technically do the hard style swing. So you'll see a lot of people squatting and using their shoulders to swing the kettlebell up, and the kettlebell's kind of, you know, hanging down, and that's just because they're doing it wrong. Now, like I said, there's not really a right or wrong way to do specific exercise, but there is. There's techniques that you need to develop, you know. So the hard style swing, which is the one that's going to give you the power, which is, you know, the one that's going to help you burn fat, which is the one that's going to get you in shape, that one is done with the lower body. The arms are just there as a fulcrum. They're just there to hold, you know, just to make sure that the kettlebell doesn't go flying. But it's the power and that swing is coming from, you know, your hip, your glutes, you know, the posterior chain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even with the hard style swing. Well, I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, the swing is a hinge and it's not a squat, right? So you have to be able to, like, that's the biggest distinction between the two. And you have to know the difference between what a squat is and what a hinge is. And then the second thing with the hard style swing is, the upper body isn't involved, but remember how earlier in the conversation we were talking about how to make the kettlebell feel heavier than it is? Well, when you're doing a hard style swing, you may not use your arms at the top of the swing or bringing the kettlebell up to the chest level, but you can use your upper body to literally throw the kettlebell down back into your hinge, and that will amplify the results of the exercise because you're using what's called an overspeed eccentric, and that overspeed eccentric is what causes a really good slingshot effect in your hamstrings and in your glutes. So if you think of your hamstrings as like long elastic bands, basically when you take that kettlebell and you throw it between your knees to get really deep into the hinge, you're pre-stretching those hamstrings to be able to forcefully explode out of that hinge to drive the kettlebell up for the next rep. So that's how you're able to use your upper body. And that's why a kettlebell swing, a lot of people, like, it really, when you do it correctly, when you do a hard style kettlebell swing correctly with that overspeed eccentric, it becomes a full body exercise.
100%. And you know what? You're right. That's one of the things that I actually do is throw the kettlebell back down. And whenever I'm with my wife and we're doing some swings, I'll tell her, God, you know, honey, just throw it back down. So literally once you, so what Chris is really saying is, you know, when you hinge and swing and the kettlebell's up, you know, by your chest level, instead of just letting it drop, you're actually going to forcefully throw it back down between your legs. And so whatever the weight is, you're going to forcefully throw it back down in between your legs, which, like Chris said, it will force you again to use some more power, get that stretch and swing it back up. And then you're just throwing it back down. So it becomes a more intense and violent movement.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, if you're an athlete or, you know, you play a lot of pickup basketball games or still play volleyball or whatever, I mean, that's one of the best tools that you can use for a vertical jump or jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Anything that involves a lot of hip power and hip explosion, like hip extension.
Yes.
So if you're throwing somebody, then yes, that's an incredible exercise. The thing with it is that you can't rep out with that exercise. Like, you've got to really cut the reps, and you've got to make sure that you're each rep. So like, say you're doing 10 reps, you have to make sure that rep 10 is as powerful as rep 1. And if it's not, then you're getting diminishing returns and you need to kill the set. So that's difficult because that a lot of people come from the mentality that, you know, if I'm not tired, then this workout isn't working. But when you're focusing on developing power, that's exactly what you want to really focus on, is making sure that each rep is as explosive as the very first rep. And when it's not, you've got to kill the set, stop and rest before you pick it up again and do the set again. So you've got to make sure that you've got 100% maximal power for each rep.
Totally. Now, one of the things that I'm finding with kettlebell training or swings specifically for me is my lower back hurts. That's kind of where I have to step away from doing swings for a while, because as soon as I start doing swings, my lower back just starts to tighten up. So I have to do other exercises other than the swing. That's just for me. Snatches and swings and that sort of thing, I can't really do as much as I used to be able to do.
because again, it is that hip hinge. So there's other muscles that need to get strong before I can go back to those. But yeah, kettlebell swings are phenomenal, phenomenal exercise. And with that, so, you know, we talked about the kettlebell swing being, probably the first exercise you should master. Mm-hmm. Do you think? Yeah, the swing. And then what weight would a guy start with? So, you know, the kettlebell swing, again, we're starting off with the kettlebell swing, but like that's literally what you want to start off with learning. And then from there, it'll be sort of the base for you to be able to do and quickly learn skills of other movements with kettlebells. But what weight? But kettlebell swing is not a light. If you use a light kettlebell, that's when your arms are going to come into play. So you do have to use a heavier kettlebell. But first, I'm going to ask you with the swing. And then second, I'm going to ask you in general, what weight would you suggest for men?
I think the 16 kilo kettlebell, the 16 kilo is going to be your most versatile kettlebell. I think you need to start with swings and really get familiar with it. And as you start to get familiar with swings and understand the dynamics of the kettlebell and how it works, you can use the 16 kilo for other exercises once you start becoming more comfortable with it. So I think the 16 kilo is your most versatile kettlebell. I think that's what most men start with. And I mean, I've been training with kettlebells for almost 20 years now, and I'm using my 16s right now, and I'm doing a series of bottoms up. Like, so I'm still using the 16s, and I've been doing this for 20 years. Once you graduate to a 24 and you're able to perform a 24 kilo.
Doesn't it go 16, 20, 24, 32 kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It goes up in increments of 4 kilos, which is a 10-pound jump. But I think 16, once you're able to master all the exercises with the 16, I think your next jump, I think you just skip the 20 altogether and just go right to the 24 and then start again, and you'll get really strong. So if you can master a 24, you'll be like strong, like pretty strong and very proficient. And then once you can get up to a 32, then you'll be really strong.
Now, what about guys who are overweight, like, 30 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight, 100 pounds overweight? Would you suggest the kettlebell?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kettlebell for your strength work. Okay, if you're it's overweight. Like
we're talking fat loss.
Okay, so if you need to lose weight, 90% of what you do has to be diet. Like that, it doesn't matter how much you work out. If you're maintaining the same dietary habits that got you to be 50 pounds or 100 pounds overweight, you're not going to lose any weight. You have to fix your dietary habits. When you're 50 to 100 pounds overweight, you have to move. And so, yes, I would say that you would use your workouts to get strong. Use your daily activity to get some extra energy expenditure. So you should be going for walks every day. You should be out playing, doing stuff, just going out and moving every day. But the 90% of your effort should be coming from your diet and fixing your dietary habits. But
nutrition
always, especially if you're overweight. Your workouts are there for you to get strong. You can do metabolically driving workouts to help you lose weight as well, but those only work in combination with your dietary habits.
Right.
So diet is always going to be number one. And then you can use your kettlebell workouts for your metabolics or for your strength training. I personally like if you have a lot of weight to lose, you focus 90% of the time on your diet, and then your workout should be strength focused, and then go for walks every morning before your cup of coffee on an empty stomach and do that for 30 minutes. So if you have dogs, more power to you, take the dogs out for a walk, go for a walk for 30 minutes. The pace that you should be at should be like, imagine that your plane is boarding and you're trying to get to the gate in time. And so that's the pace of walking that you should be doing every morning. Now, this is if you need to lose weight.
Right.
Yeah. And that's basically how I prescribe kettlebell workouts for somebody that needs to lose weight.
Yeah, I agree. Like, especially or like if you're okay. So aside from the nutrition part, let's just jump back to kettlebell. I think when you're overweight, 50, 100 pounds, whatever, I think that when you use kettlebells, it's going to get your joints stronger. You know, like you talked about strength, which is great. That's going to get everything stronger. So, your walking pace can be faster, and obviously you're going to start to build muscle just in general because you're using the kettlebell. Muscles are going to start to develop, which will be make you more metabolic, which will help you to lose weight faster.
That's
right. But also you're getting that strength so that as you're losing weight, now your joints are getting stronger and tendons are getting stronger and you're losing weight. Now you're able to do other movements with the body weight, et cetera, that you may not have been able to use if you just lost weight from walking and nutrition.
No, that's right. And that's why strength and power training is so important for people that need to lose weight as well, because that's going to help you build muscle, which is your metabolically driving tissue. That's like, those are the tissues that require a lot of energy. And because they require a lot of energy, they'll burn a lot of calories. So honestly, I would just say most people that are overweight too or have very low posterior chain strength. And so I think the kettlebell swing is essential for them to be able to develop that strength.
For sure. So that's good. I love that. Now, if you're going to let's just change gears and talk about some of the key kettlebell exercises. So we talked about, 16 kilos are good for men. We talked about, we just brushed on different styles of kettlebell. There's kettlebell sport, which is generally, it's an actual sport. So when you're training for kettlebell sport, you're training to do as many reps as you possibly can within a specific time of a specific exercise. So like a clean and press or whatever it is. So you're going to need to train for endurance. That's what that's sort of focused on. And it's a different, you'll see people swinging differently and doing exercise a little bit differently with sport, a little bit more softer, as they call it. And then there's hard style, which is a lot of what I use and what Chris uses, which is, again, you're going to get power, you're going to get explosiveness, you're going to get, you're not training for endurance. You can train for endurance, but you're not training specifically for endurance, but more power, explosiveness, fat loss, muscle growth. I mean, you can do everything. But again, you're going to see different style of the way you swing, a different style of the way you clean and press than you would a sport. So we're not talking kettlebell sport. That's specifically a sport. If you want to do that, you can, that's totally different. You're going to train differently. But the hard style kettlebell is what we're talking about. The reason why I'm asking the next question is because when someone goes to buy a kettlebell, when someone goes to look for a kettlebell, what type of kettlebell would you suggest them get for home use?
I'm a big fan of just the classic style kettlebells. So the classic style kettlebells are where the size of the kettlebell goes in correspondence to the weight of the kettlebell. So a heavier kettlebell will be bigger, a lighter kettlebell will be smaller. If you buy a sport kettlebell, you'll notice that regardless of how heavy they are, they're all the same size. So I like classic only because, like I said, the 16 kilo is going to be your most versatile kettlebell, and you can take it with you anywhere. It's about the size of, I wouldn't even know what to compare it with, but like I've got two 16 kilos in the back of my, I've got two 16 kilos in my trunk right now, like in the back of my SUV right now. And I carry it with me, and like they're just that versatile. So I'm partial to that, but I mean, if you want to compete in kettlebell sport, if you like the consistency of the size, then you can go ahead and buy a pro style kettlebell. That's what they call the competition kettlebells, pro styles. Yeah. So you can go take a look at those if you like. But I'm a little partial to classics, which are just the size is in correspondence to how heavy it is.
Cool. Yeah, me too. I mean, I have both. Actually, I have some sport ones and some just the classic with the iron, and they're different sizes. So again, over the years, you just kind of get kettlebells here and there and what have you. So there's no right or wrong, but I'm with Chris. I think for some of the exercises that you can use with kettlebells, like, if you want to do, figure eights or something between the legs or whatever it is, then using the bigger sport will be a little bit more cumbersome than using, a kettlebell that's like 16 kilos. It's the ball part is smaller, but which, speaking about figure eights, what are some of the key, if you're going to say four key kettlebell exercises for guys who are over 40, what would you suggest? The swing is one, but what are four other ones that you would suggest if they have one kettlebell or two kettlebells? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start up with one.
I think the get, okay, so the swing for sure, the get up is incredible. And the get up is great because it teaches you mobility and tension and flexibility and strength all in one exercise. The get up is very nuanced. There are specific steps to it in order for you to get what you want out of it, but it is the best shoulder strengthening exercise that you will ever see. And that's because you're affixing the kettlebell overhead and you're basically moving your body around the kettlebell and around your shoulder at different angles. So you're strengthening your shoulder at every possible angle you can to be able to maintain that weight overhead. And that builds so much resilience in the shoulder joint, which is a very finicky joint. I mean, you and I have played volleyball, so we know what kind of, like what kind of imbalances you can create in the shoulder. Like I'm experiencing some of it now, and my, my program right now is heavy in get ups because I just need to really focus on strengthening my shoulder at those various angles. So the get up would be one of them. So we've got the swing, the get up, the squat. So if you can do a goblet squat, especially for guys over 40, that will really help with hip mobility, and it'll really help teach you how to maintain tension in your cylinder. And basically your cylinder is the term that I like to use for your abs, but that also incorporates your rib cage and your pelvis. So if you think of your rib cage and your pelvis as the top and the bottom of the cylinder, the middle part of the cylinder are all of your core muscles. So your rectus abdominis, your obliques, internal and external, your transverse abdominis, your lower back muscles, so your erector spinae, that's your cylinder. And the goblet squat really teaches you how to maintain that cylinder at various angles. And it'll give you great hip mobility.
What's the goblet squat for those who don't know?
The goblet squat is where you...
for those who don't know?
The goblet squat is where you hold the kettlebell by the horn, so by the sides of the handles, not the top of the handle, but you have one hand on either side of the handle and you hold it nice and tight to your chest, and then you pull yourself down into a squat. And so the squat occurs between your knees. It's not you pushing your hips back. It's more or less you opening your knees apart, keeping your feet flat on the ground, and then sinking down almost like you want to put your butt into a hole that you're standing right over top. And that's what a goblet squat is. You want to imagine pulling yourself down, not letting the weight
like
carry
you down.
Like you
want to shit in the hole.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like you want to go to the bathroom in the hole. So But you've got to pull yourself down slowly. You shouldn't let gravity take you and like bounce up and down. Like you've got to pull yourself down deep into that hole. And that's really great for hip mobility, ankle mobility, knee mobility. Just really incredible exercise. Like I like goblet squats a lot. And then
so do I have them in my program.
And then the last exercise, the all-encompassing exercise, which is the king of all kettlebell exercises, they call this the czar, which is king in Russian, is the snatch. The snatch is probably the most bang for your buck kettlebell exercise there is, because the snatch is a swing that finishes overhead. So all the mobility that you gained in the shoulder and the strength that you gained in the shoulder from the get up, plus all the power that you're generating from the swing, is combined into that one exercise, which is the snatch. So once you're able to establish your get-ups and really get strong in that shoulder, and then once you're able to really dial in your swing and generate a lot of power with your hips, the snatch will be your go-to exercise.
Yeah.
Awesome. You good?
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And then, of course, there's presses. There's clean and there's cleans. There's so many other, there's hundreds and hundreds of exercises that you can do with the kettlebell, which makes it even better. I mean, that makes it so versatile. But those are the four, the swing, the get up for sure. The get up is such an amazing multi-joint, multi-muscle, multi-movement exercise, strength, like your total body strength. And then, the goblet squat. Yes, 100%. Yeah. You know, because the cool thing about the goblet squat too is it also hits your anterior chain, because, you know, when you're holding the kettlebell like that, your body wants to fall forward. So you have to engage your core and really, you know, focus on keeping your anterior chain solid so that you can finish that movement, right?
Yeah, not letting your cylinder collapse. That's basically what I was talking about, the cylinder, right? Like you're not letting that collapse. You're not by folding forward. So you've got to keep your abs tight.
And then of course the snatch. I love it. It's the ultimate power, but it's again, your full body is taking control from you swinging and using the posterior chain or your lower body to power that kettlebell up all the way to, you know, your shoulder strength, shoulder stability, core stability, because you're holding it, something over top of your head. So obviously your core needs to be strong as a finisher, and then pushing it back down again to repeat, you know, so you have that metabolic aspect to it. The fat burning metabolic aspect to it, cardio aspect to it as well.
I like, just to show you the power of the snatch, I wrote a program 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago, for my Alpha Dad group called Rex. And Rex, which is, Rex just means king in Latin. That's why I called it that. Okay. But the program consisted of snatches and rucking. So rucking is just walking with a weighted backpack or a weighted vest on. And so,
oh, okay.
That's all it was. So it was 6 weeks of 3 days a week of snatching, and mm-hmm. followed by 3 days a week of walking with a weighted backpack. And there was a few guys in the group lost a ton of weight, but there was one guy that lost, I think it was 17 pounds of fat. Wow. And put on, he lost 4 inches around his waist and put 1.5 inches of girth around his shoulders, like the circumference around his shoulders. And that was just from doing two exercises, which were snatching and rucking.
Rucking, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So when you talk about
a lot of studies,
when you talk about minimalists, I mean, that's two exercises.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Two exercises, yeah. Getting those incredible results. There's a lot of studies out there with kettlebells, or is there? Is there a lot of studies out there, you know, with the effectiveness of kettlebells?
Yeah, no, there are. I mean, the big landmark study was one that came out, I think it was 2012, maybe, where ACE did a study, and they found that that snatching, I think, I can't remember the exact what happened, but they were snatching a 16-kilo kettlebell. And that was their testing kettlebell. And they found that snatching had the highest caloric expenditure above any other exercise that they've ever done. So that goes for sprinting, that goes for burpees, that goes for like any metabolic exercise, that snatching had the highest calorie burn, the highest metabolic demand. Yeah.
100%, man. I know that especially with a 16-kilo, you know, the amount of work capacity that it takes to snatch a 16, 20, you know, I think I had to snatch 32s when I got my certification back in the day.
Oh, training, wow.
Whatever it was.
That's hardcore.
Mentally retarded. But yeah, I think I do remember having to do a bunch of exercises. I think 32s was the one that I had to snatch. But it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. But that's amazing. Yeah, snatch is such an amazing exercise. And again, you know, kettlebell training, you definitely need to focus on technique. You definitely need to skill. Like you said, it's a skill, right?
It is. Yeah. It's just like anything. It's like riding a bike, or it's like learning how to bench press. Like you can get under a bar and start pressing the bar up and down, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're aligned properly. That doesn't necessarily mean that your shoulder's in an ideal position. That doesn't mean that you're tightening your abs or that. So just like how bench pressing, there's a certain skill involved. With kettlebell training, there is a very specific skill involved. But the beauty about that is that you learn the skill of kettlebell training, hard style, those skills carry over to a bunch of other skills that have nothing to do with what you're doing in the gym or anything to do with fitness. Like a kettlebell snatch is a vertical jump.
Right.
Right. Like when you're swinging a kettlebell, because of the horizontal projection of the kettlebell, that will help you with running and with sprinting. A get up will help you, you know, get up off the ground or get up off a toilet or be able to stabilize a weight over your head. It helps you with your pressing. It helps you with your bench pressing. It helps you with your rowing or your chin-ups. So the skills, they carry over into everyday life.
Yeah. I think we lost them.
No, I'm here, man.
But I can... Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, and I can double that, you know, like, again, there's a lot of other, like, if you're a golfer, you know, there's some rotational stuff you can do with the kettlebell that will help, you know, with your golfing swing and the rotation in your hips, or you play baseball, or just you know, everyday life, to pick up two heavy kettlebells and do farmer's walks, and you'll the difference between when you have groceries. Like, that's one of the things that when I started using kettlebells, I felt like I could move any way. Like, you know, I'll never forget this, is I finished that whole 6 month kettlebell stint where I lost a ton of weight and got strong and powerful, but my joints were so strong that I felt like I could just pick up, like, you know, groceries and take like 7 bags of groceries, and like my arm extended and still have those groceries, and like just everyday movements were so much easier, and I was so much stronger. And before, you know, trying to pick up stuff or move in specific ways, you know, and again, even when I was like 39 and 40, it was a struggle, or, oh, this hurt. And the strength you feel, this, you know, you just feel stronger. Like, oh yeah, I can pick that. Oh yeah, I can throw this. Oh, my kid. Yeah, I can throw my kid up in the air. No big deal. Just from using that kettlebell, your body's, you know, stable, your core strong, you know, your joints are strong. So you're able to, you know, move in specific ways. That get up is a great example of an exercise that allows you to move around the kettlebell, but will teach you how to, you know, pick up other things and move things around your daily life. When you go to moving, like in general, you know, guys are hurting their back or whatever, but when you start to learn to brace your core, the breathing techniques, all these other things that you can learn when using the kettlebell, especially if you have a good kettlebell teacher, like Chris, who has kettlebell programs that teach you a lot of that stuff, you're going to use that in your everyday life. You're not going to get injured. You know, you're going to be able to pull things off the top of the cupboard. You're going to be able to fix things. You know, we're the fix it guys at home. So we're going to, you know, we have to figure out how to fix this and that and move this and that. And when we can do that, you can do that a lot easier. You start to feel like, you know, you have a lot, you're stronger, and then those things become easy.
You have real world strength, like strength that you can use every
exactly
day.
It.
And it's funny, like, especially now that I'm older and I have a lot of friends that aren't as active as I am. And like, I'm still playing beach volleyball, you know, 2-3 times a week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Out in Costa Rica, you're playing with the Costa Rican Kings or what?
I am. Exactly.
The CCKs, yeah. the CRKs?
That's exactly it. We're playing on a 12-year-old girl's net, but it's, I'm just kidding. It's
pounding balls.
Yeah, exactly. Going OT, calling OT every time. But I can do that. Like, you know, I can still surf. I'm still running hills, and a lot of this I can attribute to, like, I'm still able to do a lot of the things that I was able to do when I was, you know, 10, 20 years younger. And a lot of that I think is just because of the type of training that I do. It's such a great tool. And it allows you to live life every day because it's so efficient and you don't need a lot of time. And like I said, like at the beginning of the call, it's, you know, we have responsibilities. We can't spend 3 or 4 hours in the gym anymore. And so why not use a tool that incorporates flexibility, mobility, strength, conditioning, metabolics, and a little bit of muscle building all in one.
100%. And you only need 20 minutes, man. Like, you can get a massively 15 minutes. You can get a huge workout in 15 minutes for sure.
Oh, 100%. For sure. Easily. Yeah.
You know, it's not the more is better. You know, how you execute that workout, that's going to be the key. If it's only 15 minutes or 10 minutes, even shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's right. Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, brother. Yeah. So if someone wants, one of the things that I suggest you guys do, who are listening, who've never used kettlebells before or do use kettlebells but just want to increase your, you know, improve your skill, is definitely get to Chris's kettlebellworkouts.com. You have some free stuff on there, right? Like free tutorials?
I do.
Is that what it is? Or workshops?
I do.
So talk about that. What do you got there?
So there's a few. I've got 4 of them, actually. One is a single kettlebell workshop, which is free. Like, you have to go through the workshop, and then if you want more information after that, you can enter your email address. I have a how to do a kettlebell swing tutorial. I've got a tutorial on how to do the get up, and then I've got a double, like an advanced double kettlebell workshop as well. And those are all free resources on my website. You just go to the homepage, and then you'll see start here or get free stuff here, and then you can go through it. And it's all video based because I think that's probably the best way to learn it, because you want to see somebody do it and then kind of mimic it. And you can, So just go to kettlebellworkouts.com. You can get those free resources there.
Awesome. And the other thing is, if you are a, because I know I do have some over 40 fighters on here, guys who train martial arts. Chris and I created a Kettlebell for Fighters program, which is a great program. You get tutorials, you get, you know, conditioning workouts, strength workouts, explosive workouts. It's actually an amazing program, 100%. Not just because we created it, but we get amazing testimonials and feedback from that program. So I'll put a link wherever we are listening to this to download that program. It's an amazing one. Anything else, buddy? Anything else you wanna leave us off with?
So if you take away anything from your training, just remember, especially now that we're over 40 or that we're over 35 and, you know, we're in the upper age ranges now, just remember that training has to give you more than it takes from you. So it's supposed to make you better. Now, if you leave workouts feeling like you got hit by a truck and you can't function for the rest of your day, and you associate getting hit by a truck or feeling tired and everything to a good workout, especially now when we're over 40, we really have to change our mindset with that. So just remember, if there's one thing that you take away, it's that training has to give you more than it takes from you. You should be leaving feeling energized. Your training should make you stronger. It should make you more vital. It should really energize you after a session. You should feel really good. You shouldn't feel like you're hurt, or don't judge how sore you are the next day on whether or not you had a good workout. Like that's old flawed thinking, and it's just going to set you up for failure, for injury later on. So a lot of times with a lot of the guys in my groups that are over 40 or that are over 35, we really have to change the mindset of no pain, no gain, and understand that it's about so much more than that now. So if you take one thing away, and that's why I like kettlebell training, because it's very skill-based, and so you don't necessarily feel sore, but it's like what you and I said earlier on. It's like after something like that, the next day or like almost immediately after, your muscles are more dense. You almost feel like you're shrink-wrapped and you're tighter. And not tighter in like an immobile sense, but tighter in like everything's just tightened up and you're a lot leaner sense. So that's the type of feeling that you should be getting from your training, not something where you feel like you just got hurt or that you can't function for the rest of the day because you had a great workout because it killed me. You shouldn't be saying that after a workout.
I love it, man. Thank you so much. That's awesome. I agree 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. That's the best thought process, especially for us guys as we get older, because we want to stay consistent, right? We want to always have exercise. We want to always be working out. We always want to be doing that all the way up to in our 70s until we die, if we can, whether it's just walking or what have you. But, you know, in order to do that, you know, you can't continually break your body down and think that, you know, workouts that destroy you and leave you like CrossFit and leave you dying on the ground are the ones that you need to do, because you're just gonna break down. There's no way that's sustainable. And that's what we want. We want sustainable training that makes us better, makes us stronger, gives us confidence, you know, keeps us healthy, keeps our body lean, and keeps our mind at the best it can be.
That's right.
Word. All right, brother. Word. Thank you so much. Again, everything will be left here on this page or wherever you're listening to this, so you can, or if you're, you know, listening to this podcast, go to the website, the Over 40 Shred website, go to podcast, and if you need any of the links, they'll be there for you. Thank you so much, Chris. You're amazing, man. I love you. Enjoy Costa Rica, my brother.
Thanks, my brother. We'll talk again, but thanks for having me on. Sure. And we'll talk again for sure.
All right, brother. Peace. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode and got a lot of information from there that you can start using right away. Please make sure that you give this a 5-star rating and download this and send it to your friends. Also, if you haven't yet, please join the Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood for free. If you go to over40alpha.com/7-day trial, join for free and get workouts, nutrition, recovery, mindset, everything you need to get into the best shape of your life. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you in the next episode. Get it done.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. join us for another podcast.